Hey, Token Jews. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening to Wondering Jews. Roy and I decided to take the week off, but we didn't want to leave you high and dry. In lieu of a new episode, we wanted to share the first episode of Wondering Jews that was released in July of 2019 for your listening pleasure. If you want to check out other back episodes of the show, click the link in the show notes and become a Patreon supporter for $1 a month to get access to the back catalog. Roy and I will be back with an all-new episode later this month. Until then, L'chaim.
You know, socks have gotten so popular these days.
Yep. They have been popular.
So there's some. About that.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, Grandpa Josh.
Grandpa Josh, tell us how you feel about all these hip socks today.
You're listening to Wondering Jews. Each week, we get baked and dive into Jewish study, current events, and culture.
It's a podcast for the curious token Jew and the curious non-token Jew, and also the non-Jew. It's basically for anybody who wants to have fun.
So on today's episode, we are
going to unpack a commandment, we're going to get ripped from the headlines, and we're going to have a fascinating conversation with a special guest.
My mom.
Josh's mom.
But first things first,
we're going to visit with our friend, the Candyland strain.
Oh, Candyland.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I've had this before from Sugar Tree Farms,
mm-hmm.
as I think I've mentioned in the past. 23.85% THC tested this current batch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tested back on February, so it's pretty fresh still.
Yeah.
And it smells amazing.
What was the name of the strain?
Candyland.
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 Candyland. I have Candyland,
and this is a stronger Candyland than we have.
And they have they've altered the game. They've made it easier.
Oh, you're talking about the game, the actual game, board the game. I thought you were talking about the strain.
No, I'm talking
because that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the board game.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised the Candyland strain hasn't been sued yet. Coming soon to a courtroom near you.
I wonder if it's Candy Spaceland or is it Candyland one word? Because I wonder if, I don't know.
It's spelled trademark infringement. But yeah, they've made the game easier.
They've made it easier, which is nice as the parent because I actually don't enjoy playing Candyland.
Which one's Candyland?
It's basically you go up a board and you pull over cards where they have different colors and like there's two color and then you can like go to the space with that color.
Terrible.
And sometimes there's like a lollipop and you get to cut.
That's you know what? I don't think I ever played Candyland with my kids.
Really?
I think I was just
no sweets.
No sweets. You can have carob seed.
But it's not chocolate.
It's supposed to be like chocolate. It's not chocolate.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a carob?
I have. Yeah.
Carob chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I was fine.
In a lot of like Jewish houses growing up, it was like a popular thing mm-hmm. because it was kind of chocolatey,
right?
But it wouldn't violate kashrut.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
If you ate meat, mm-hmm. you couldn't then have like a cookie with chocolate in it,
right? That's true.
Afterwards,
you're right.
So you have these fucking carob cookies.
Yes. No, we would have them too.
Yeah. Or maybe occasionally Hydrox.
Oh yeah, we would have Hydrox.
Lots you had Hydrox cookies.
Yeah. But I think they changed the Oreos now. I think now
they did. They're not lard anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. They just taste like guilt.
What, Oreos? They have so many colors now and flavors.
I've heard.
Like, I haven't tried any of them.
Buffalo wing? Is that one of them?
I think
that might be one of them.
That's disgusting.
I think you can say anything. Like Bon Mi? Bon Mi Oreos? Okay.
That's a great idea.
Rip.
From the headlines. Yeah, so each week what we're going to do is we're going to pick some headlines from around the world, and we're going to take a look at them. Take it away.
Well, why don't you set this one up because...
I didn't. I only said...
you should set it up. Okay. I don't understand any of this right now because...
Did you read it?
You sent me this link.
Did you read it?
I read parts of it.
You didn't read it, did you? You opened the link, but you didn't read it.
No, I did read it.
So what happened?
That they're opening up...
Who's they, Josh?
This university in Israel.
Uh-huh.
kind of seemed like a tier two, tier three school in Israel. Ouch. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Do you?
Ouch.
They are offering a program to cultivate cannabis in like the second or third year you're making the product.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's as far as I got. Am I missing something?
No, that's accurate. Okay. It's just part of sort of this broader trend of like higher education institutions flirting with or starting programs in and around cannabis, whether it's like on the medical side or on the pharmaceutical side. They're all trying to figure out how can they work with this thing without violating federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, they're just like, fuck it. Like, these are good opportunities. But it's also just a sign of like Israel is so far out on the fucking frontiers of the medical side of this.
Mm-hmm.
But recreationally, their laws are shit.
Really?
It's barely decriminalized. They have a medical program, but it's very, very strictly managed and governed. Everybody smokes weed, but there are still criminal penalties possible associated with it. And then there's no retail market. It would be really interesting to like sit in on those classes.
Yeah.
Hear how they're talking about it.
Well, I'm interested to know where they get these professors.
Yeah, man. Dude, they get it from down the road in Jerusalem. Like, the guy who discovered THC was professor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Raphael Meshulam, who's still alive, and he's still researching, and he runs a lab.
I think here in the States, it seems like colleges have just really gotten into the wine game. But it seems like, I'd say, in the last 15 or 20 years, they've just started, I'd say, amplified those programs and made them sort of like showpieces for the schools.
Yeah.
And it seems like that hasn't happened yet with cannabis. At least in the States.
Because of federal prohibition.
So that's the headline I have.
That's a great headline.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey.
So as everyone knows, there's 613 mitzvot in Jewish law,
mm-hmm.
which is 613 different, sometimes translated as commandments, sometimes translated as good deeds.
Okay.
Many of which, or a good number of which, don't apply anymore because they had to do with the Second Temple or even time before that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for us to commemorate those. They're moot.
They're
still counted.
What do you think is the number? Like, so there's 613. Do you think half of them, like when we do this random number generator and pick one at random, and we do this every episode, what percentage of them are going to be totally nonsense mitzvot that we're going to be like, what?
My gut tells me it's like 16.7%.
16?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. I think it's going to be like 60, like 60.
You think?
I think that there's going to be a lot of them where I'm like, why is this a commandment? You know?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So that we're going to use a random number generator software.
Okay.
What we call software, because we're old, what you people might call apps.
Yeah.
Or just like, beep, pop, square.
Before I push the button, I just want to clarify, we have no idea what number it's going to be. There really is a phone in my hand right now.
That's correct. With a random number generator. That'll give us a random number between 1 and 613.
Right.
And we have no idea what it's going to pick, and therefore we haven't prepared.
In case you haven't noticed, none of this is prepared. Let's
That's
push.
That's the beauty of it. It's called transparency, man. Authenticity.
Let's push the button.
Here we go. Between
223. Okay, so now let me pull up my other app.
All right.
Called the Bible. Maimonides List. Here we go.
Uh-oh. That's like Craigslist, but for mitzvahs.
Exactly.
I was just posted on my Maimonides List. I got like 25 mitzvahs for $15 on my Maimonides List. But I had to meet this guy in a sketchy parking lot somewhere.
Leviticus.
Ooh, it's hot.
Chapter.
Lay it on me.
19.
One of my favorites.
Verse 11.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a famous one. Read it.
Not to swear in denial of a monetary claim. Let's check out the text. Check out the text. Ye shall not steal, neither shall ye deal falsely.
Do you have the Hebrew there?
Nor lie one to another. Yes, I do.
Let's take a look at the Hebrew. Lo tignavu, don't steal. Velo tachshavu, velo tishkaru, don't lie. What does that say? Ish ba'amiti. Be the person of truth.
Okay.
Basically.
All right, well, those are commandments I can get behind.
Yeah, that's like, don't fucking cheat each other. Don't be like a shit.
Why is that number 223? That should be number, like, 3.
Well, no, that's like the code, and then 223 is a mitzvah based on that code.
Okay.
So the mitzvah is like, don't. So if you go back to 223, you'll see that it says something like.
It says, not to swear in denial of a monetary claim.
Yeah, exactly. That's like. Don't lie about not owing somebody money.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you owe me like 4 jars of oil, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't owe you 4 jars of oil, Moshe, you motherfucking piece of shit. It's like, I owe you 2 jars of oil.
Yeah.
I already paid you with a quarter of my next year's sheep.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, fuck you, Raphael. We're taking this to the judge, and the judge is like, let me look it up. Never swear denial, but
yeah.
That's the mitzvah you didn't keep. Now we're going to kill you. Their penalties were pretty strict.
They were.
It was like, you know, don't do that or we'll stone you to death. It's like, I was always amazed. It's like, it was like this notion of like God and like the connection between God and this people of Israel that he's like loves and is going to care for eternity.
Yeah.
But like, if you break this small rule over here, we will fucking kill you. It seems it's a little
serious.
Like a,
yeah.
It's a little bit of a paradoxical message happening there.
Yeah.
The book is a little tricky. But yeah, the underlying rule I like.
I will say that I think I've broken this mitzvah before.
I think everybody has.
Yeah.
That's why it has to be a mitzvah.
I think I owe my parents a lot of money that has been left on the table.
Yeah, I'll pay you back, Mom. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. You were never serious about paying back, right?
No. No.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why I think all of the mitzvot are mitzvot, because the natural instinct, the human nature is to not do that.
Yeah.
And by not doing that, you have all the kinds of shit and fighting and mistrust and war and so forth.
Right.
So if everybody like acts according to these rules that are designed to like make you act like a more decent person,
mm-hmm.
which would be more godly, then it would be a really good scene. But there's a lot of people who claim to be super religious who break this one all the fucking time,
yeah.
among others.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me about the hypocrisy in the Orthodox community, which I like grew up in. I was mm-hmm. at bar mitzvah at a Chabad in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
so like I'm still, I know that community very well.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good people in the community, but there's definitely like a lot of fucking hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Just like in the Catholic Church.
Sure.
You know, not... Actually, there's been some shit in the Orthodox scene that mirrors what's happening in the Catholic Church. Because
totally.
Anytime you have people in positions of power, power corrupts.
Yeah.
And absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you know, like what nonprofit designated church or synagogue you work for. Truth. Just dropping a truth bomb on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Thanks, random number generator. It's for 223.
Yeah.
Will you read it one more time?
Oh, man, I have to.
Never mind. Don't read it again.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm here with my friend Roy. Roy, this is
Hi,
my
Roy.
Mom, Laura.
Hello, Mrs. Hi. Geller.
Hi.
So, I'll be honest with you, Mom. The... my bedtime routine got delayed a little bit, so I got here later. So we haven't prepared as much as we would have liked, but just to be perfect.
It's a strong way to open by apologizing, Josh.
So do you want to
Josh
call
opens
me
with a John, no, Josh no. opens with a courageous apology.
No, I just wanted to sort of set the table for you. So you're...
set the table, Josh.
just don't have such high expectations. But I really appreciate you coming on today.
We're excited to have you on, Rabbi Geller.
Well, I'm excited to be on.
We like asking questions of smart rabbis.
Yeah, so
I like asking questions too.
That is true. My mom.
It's a very rabbinic thing to say.
Asks so many questions.
Of course she does.
Oh my God. Okay. This is going to be so much fun.
It's all that Talmud. It's all that pill pull.
What is your favorite practice or ritual or moment of the Jewish calendar that gets almost, that gets way less attention than other things do, or than it should, you think? Something that Sukkot. You like. Sukkot. I completely agree.
Wait, not everybody knows what Sukkot is. What is Sukkot, Josh? I'm going to tell you right now.
She looked at me like, I know, but you have the computer open right in front of you, man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to borrow a really clear explanation instead of being rambly about it. But, you know, not everybody in our audience might be familiar with Sukkot. It's not as well known as a holiday.
So what is it?
Well, it's a week-long Jewish holiday that comes 5 days after Yom Kippur, so right after the high holidays. And that's, I think, why it gets lost a lot, frankly, is because you're coming off like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and a lot of people are like, all right, that's plenty. And then, but then there's Sukkot just 5 days later, and it's actually awesome. It's the gathering of the harvest. It's a harvest holiday, and it commemorates the miraculous protection God provided for the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Remember, Egypt's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. So we got holidays throughout the year to remember it and like getting out of it, which I'm a big fan of like remembering. And so, you know, you go with your family and your friends into these foliage covered booths, these like little huts. And you take these four kinds, they're called, which we can talk about later. you know, different species of vegetation to signify different species from the harvest and from nature around us. And I happen to think there's a lot of deep spirituality in Sukkot as well. But anyway, it's a fascinating holiday, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what it was. Back to our program.
I had a kick-ass Sukkot this past year for the first time, and it was like so much more fun, even just to like do anything about it.
It is a wonderful holiday. It is a physical holiday where you smell, you taste, you recognize what's most important. You bring into the sukkah only the things that really matter. You bring friends, you bring good food, you bring family, and you bring memory. You don't Right. bring your cell phone and your computer and your fancy car and your fancy house.
Right.
And you recognize that the everything is temporary, and it's really a holiday about being present, and it's not that much celebrated because, first of all, it's hard to do, and secondly, I guess if you live in Portland, it's raining,
it's,
right?
Yeah, I think it's a bad time of the year. If it was in August, I would do it.
Yeah.
You know, just have like
well, a remember,
barbecue.
Like, they were on a different latitude.
No, I understand.
Than
I'm,
we are.
I'm not asking them to change it. I'm just saying that it does make it uncomfortable.
But you can do... Sometimes I feel like Jews get hung up on the like full halachic technicality of doing something mm-hmm. when there are versions of doing it that can be just as meaningful and are easier to do. Like I know the building of the whole sukkah is a thing,
uh-huh.
but like you could improvise something sukkah-like
uh-huh.
and still sit in it, you know, even if it's just like a tapestry over your balcony.
What do you think about it? Is that kosher?
It's well, not so halachically kosher.
It depends, you know, how you understand kosher. And, uh-huh. and one of the ways to understand the development of Judaism is there are different kind of eras. You know, the rabbinic era is things are either permitted or they're prohibited, right? It's kosher or it's treif.
Yeah. Right.
In the Enlightenment, things were either true or they were false.
Okay.
You know, in Reform Judaism, you might say things are either true or they're false. In the postmodern era, things are either meaningful or not meaningful.
Okay.
So it's a different standard.
So is that the paradigm we're in now?
I think it is the paradigm. It's the paradigm that I want my Judaism to be in, and I hope it's for my children as well, that they find a way to make Passover meaningful to them,
uh-huh.
even
yeah.
if it's not halachically strict. I do think that in the spiritual practice of not eating chametz, it's a paying attention practice, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
You're just eating the way you normally eat, you know. So, but it's not about kosher or not kosher for me. It's about right. meaningful or non-meaningful. I keep kosher all the time. My kids grew up in a vegetarian, pescatarian house because I wanted to have a food practice that we would all pay attention to while we were in the house. But as Joshua will tell you, when they were out of the house, they ate whatever they wanted, and that was fine with me. And the choices that they make as grown-ups and for their own families, fine with me. But I do hope that they will be thoughtful about how they eat and what they eat, because that's a spiritual
right.
practice.
Oh, well, yeah, that's exactly, is the mindfulness of it. How do you feel like synagogues are adapting to the sort of legal world?
to the witch world.
To the legal marijuana world. How does that?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, I live in California. You guys live in Oregon. It's now legal, both medical marijuana and also recreational marijuana. So it's really not an issue anymore, I don't think. And before it was an issue, when there were, you know, there was, you know, the ballot, the vote on it, you know, we had programs at the synagogue where we brought people to come in and talk about it, pro and con, and because it was an important issue that we wanted people to be informed about.
That's good.
There's no problem, I think, with marijuana and Judaism. The only argument that you can make against it is it's harmful. And in fact, there was a pretty famous Orthodox authority who said that marijuana is not permitted because it's harmful.
Right. The truth is, he's mistaken.
Well, but the truth is, if you take that position, you have to also say that smoking cigarettes is not.
Of course. Of course.
It is a violation of Jewish law, right? And if you allow smoking cigarettes, then
the drinking of alcohol is harmful.
Yes, right. So, like, in moderation, anything that isn't harmful, you know.
Kosher beef is harmful. Have you tasted that crap? It's terrible.
If you eat too much of it. And then, you know, but it's interesting that there has been this discussion in the Orthodox community about whether it's kosher or not. And there's a difference of opinion, but the issue relates to whether it's harmful or not. And right. In 2016, some Orthodox rabbis said it's not only kosher, but it's kosher for Passover.
That's right. It is. Absolutely. It's an herb.
So there's nothing in marijuana that would make it not kosher.
Thanks for coming around, guys. Some of us have been here the whole time.
If you are, you know, very strict about Jewish law, there might be something in a capsule.
So don't use capsules. You
know, it's something or in the way
it sounds like
marijuana.
An opportunity. Kosher capsules.
But there's nothing in the marijuana itself.
That's right. Marijuana appears. I mean, I tend to believe that marijuana appears numerous times in the Bible, including in Exodus and Song of Songs, as kanebosem, which is kanebosem means fragrant grass.
Right. But that's a debate. I mean, there's really a debate among academics.
Yes, I know. I've seen the literature.
Right. Okay.
I've read the literature.
But it doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter. But the point
there is no question that in the mystical tradition, there were spiritual practices that did involve, you know, changing one's
consciousness, of course,
to, substances, right?
What do you think the burning bush was? I mean, it was.
If you were walking down the street and you saw a bush that was burning, what would you do? Would you stop? Would you notice it? You know,
exactly.
Point is to notice.
I love it.
The point is, you know, Moses. Why was that significant? It was that he stopped and looked, as opposed to just
kept walking. Right.
By,
he's right? Apparently there's a midrash that says that he looked at it for however many long minutes or hours or something, as in
but,
like
you know how many other people had walked. How many other people had walked by that bush and just didn't notice because they
right because they just figured like it caught fire and big deal,
or they didn't notice right.
Right. I mean,
part of any spiritual practice is about paying attention.
That's right.
Being present, what's happening. But in any event, it doesn't matter. I don't think whether you know there's reference to marijuana in the Bible or not. Who cares? You know
exactly.
The fact is, there's nothing wrong with it.
But there is.
Unless it is harmful. Unless you know you're so stoned all the time that you can't. That it gets in the way of your being in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
That sounds good.
I concur. Well, thank you. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have ever had this practice, but on Yom Kippur in the afternoon service, there's a moment in the service where one is supposed to fall on one's knees and your head goes down on the floor, and it looks a lot like the way Muslims pray.
Yes. Right, forehead to the ground.
And it is absolutely true that if you've been fasting, at that point in the day, if you get into that posture and the blood rushes to your head, you get a rush, right?
For sure.
This is a practice to change your experience
mind.
So that you experience what is going on in a different, more intense way. So marijuana does that for you.
Well, it's a nice guest to have on other experiences.
Yeah,
you know, like vacuuming. Oy. It really helps with vacuuming. Seriously. There should be a strangest
cold. And if it makes you laugh.
It makes me laugh, that's for sure.
Then that's okay, too.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
you know, honestly, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Is that it's...
You're all right, man?
No, I'm just loving this. Like, okay,
great. Yeah, it's awesome.
Mom, I love hearing you do your thing. You're so good at it.
It's very interesting stuff.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I just sort of
the other good thing about marijuana. The other good thing about marijuana is that it made my son call me and ask me about Passover.
I mean, caution, cannabis can be a gateway to spirituality.
Oh boy.
Well, it could be, and that wouldn't be so bad.
No, it wouldn't be terrible.
Well, I think this has been great, Mom.
Yeah, thanks so much for this conversation.
Yeah, how do you think it went?
I don't know where you're going with this. So
give it away.
I'm sorry that your son needs so much validation, Rabbi Geller.
I would like to just remind you guys that there are lots of Jewish holidays, so we could do this often.
I would be happy to do this on a regular basis because there's a lot of great holidays to talk about at different times
of
the year.
Oh, okay.
And some that I really don't know as much about as I would like to.
Okay.
And some that I know enough about to be fairly useful.
Roy's very excited about this, and I'm sort of oh my god,
I'll take care of him, don't worry, he'll be fine.
I would be happy to watch how this unfolds.
Oh my god,
that's all we can do.
Podcast with other smart people
that's all we can do.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mom. Really,
well, you're welcome, Roy. It's nice to meet you. I look forward to meeting you face
to face. Chag Sameach, Rabbi Geller.
Okay, Chag Sameach. All right, bye.
Big thanks to Rabbi Geller for being our first guest, and we look forward to having you back on the show many times. A big thanks to Hashem for cannabis and for good friends. And also, if you want to get in touch to criticize my Hebrew or offer ideas for future episodes, then shoot us an email, wonderingjewspodcast@gmail.com. Wondering with an O. It's in the show notes. Josh, anything else to add?